joining us on the line is Richard Kim. Richard is senior editor of The Nation magazine and a co-editor of the new book, Going Rouge, An American Nightmare. Now, we all know that tomorrow, Sarah Palin's book, Going Rogue, will hit stores, and she is unavoidable. In fact, we're taping this earlier in the day, but I will, I hate to admit it, be watching Sarah on Oprah this afternoon.
I think a lot of us will be watching Sarah and Oprah, and we'll be watching Sarah's five-part interview with Barbara Walters. Five-part interview with Barbara Walters. And, you know, this goes to one of the essential contradictions that is Sarah Palin and what she sort of claims in this book, that she's a media outsider, that she has to avoid the mainstream media and go straight to her people. You know, this is a woman whose candidacy was championed by Bill Kristol, op-ed columnist for the New York Times, Michael Gerson, a former Bush speechwriter and a Washington Post columnist by the National Review for the Weekly Standard, and her book is being published by HarperCollins, which is a part of Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, the second largest media company in the world. So this is not someone who's a media outsider. She's actually, in fact, a total media insider and a huge spectacle. So, you know, that's just one of the many contradictions that our book explores about Sarah Palin.
Now, let me ask you, how did the idea for Going Rouge come about?
Honestly, it was my agent, Deirdre Mullane, who's a brilliant literary agent, who called me up and said, look, you know, she's coming out with this book, Going Rogue, and the title was just announced. And she said, you have to do a book called Going Rouge. And, you know, honestly, I did not have time to write a whole manuscript about Sarah Palin in 3 weeks. But, you know, we had a tremendous wealth of excellent coverage from progressives, feminists, Nation writers, other people from the American Prospect, Salon, Slate, the Wall Street Journal, Tom Frank there. Mm-hmm. So we put a lot of that together. We got on some new contributors, including Shannon Moore and Jeannie Devon, the two preeminent bloggers from Alaska,
right.
a forum looking at Sarah Palin's electoral future, and that's what sort of is out there. It's the other side of the Sarah Palin story.
Right. Now, and in case anybody thinks that this is like a parody, sort of just a last-minute response to her book, it couldn't be anything further from the truth. I mean, you mentioned a few of the people, but you've got John Nichols in here. You've got Max Blumenthal. You've got some of my favorite pundits writing in here. And are these essays about Sarah? They're different facets of her life to sort of counter the nonsense she's pushing in her book?
Yes. The reason it's called a parody sometimes in the press is because the cover is a parody of her cover.
And the title, obviously.
But the contents really are, I think, the best essays written about Sarah Palin out there. And they do everything from look at her record when she was governor of Alaska and mayor of Wasilla. They look at her ties to the Christian right, her environmental record, which is truly horrifying, and she continues to be the spokeswoman of Drill Baby Drill, to the way that feminists kind of dealt with the contradiction of Sarah Palin. She was nominated in this very cynical move to court Hillary Clinton supporters after the bitter primary race that happened on the Democratic side. And so there was that kind of moment in September where everyone thought, oh no, they've done it. They've picked the rabbit out of the hat, and Sarah Palin's going to take all the pumas away from Barack Obama. Well, that totally proved to be untrue in the election results. And someone like Gloria Steinem, who's in our book, came out really hard and really, you know, with an excellent op-ed in the Los Angeles Times days after Sarah Palin was nominated, and said, look, women, don't be fooled by this pick.
Right, right. Well, you know, here was my thought. Richard Kim is with us, by the way, senior editor of The Nation magazine and co-editor of Going Rouge, An American Nightmare. When she first hit the stage, I was mortified because my initial thought was, this is a made-to-order candidate right out of central casting. I mean, it's sort of like, it reminded me of the Robert Redford film, The Candidate, you know, where she looks great, her family's beautiful, they're photogenic, they've got, I mean, it's right out of central casting. But the more we started learning about her and her family, it was a train wreck waiting to happen.
Yes, I mean, you know, clearly during the Charlie Gibson and Katie Kirk interviews, she just demonstrated a real lack of basic knowledge about the world, about American politics and government. She really didn't have a position on things like the federal bailout. So, you know, she I think, exposed herself as a real disaster. But there was a sort of savvy there, and there still continues to be a savvy about how she operates amongst the right-wing Republican base. And you see these polls today, you know, something like only, you know, 9% of all Americans would say they definitely would vote for Sarah Palin for president. But amongst Republicans, you know, she's consistently polling at 60, 65, 70, 75% favorability ratings. So there's a real disconnect between, you know, what she represents, not just to Democrats, but to independents, and what she represents to conservatives in this country.
Well, and that's frightening, too, because as we've learned from those interviews, her grasp on the issues is, I hate to say it, she doesn't seem any smarter than a fifth grader.
No, and you know, that's, you know, someone suggested that, you know, this book represents the most serious policy book out there, or comparing her to Reagan. That's what her fans are doing now. And, you know, Ronald Reagan was a real rocket scientist and a master of public policy compared to Sarah Palin. But, you know, something that this shows is that you don't necessarily need to be all that equipped with policy details if what you do is traffic in lies and distortions. So you saw that around the healthcare panel, the healthcare reform debate, where Sarah Palin took to her Facebook page and blasted this total lie about how the healthcare reform bill is going to have death panels. She was the one who really popularized that. Now, Betsy McCoy wrote about that first in the New York Post, but it was Sarah Palin who took that to her base, really. And that's when you saw August hijacked, you know, by those insane death panel hysteria. And so she did a lot of danger at that moment. And it had nothing to do with fact, but it had everything to do with conviction and a willingness to play really dirty.
Well, what's interesting to me is a lot of the critics of Barack Obama talked about the cult of personality. Isn't this exactly what they were criticizing the Democrats for in terms of Obama? She's got no foreign policy knowledge other than you can see Russia from her house. I mean, the things that are so laughable, they are taking that as you know, these are qualities that would make her a possible potential president, when in essence it is personality, it's looks, it's the fact that she's presentable on camera. If she looked like Dianne Feinstein, would we be having this talk about Sarah Palin today?
I don't think so at all. And you know, I think something interesting is that Sarah Palin, the pick there was a cynical move to appeal to on the level of gender for Democrats, but on the level of sex for Republicans. You know, Republican commentators wrote openly on blogs about what a hot babe she was, and they cast her whole family, you know, first due to Todd Palin and her children, as this very attractive package that was more celebrity than substance. So that's what she's trying to extend here, really, with this book, the sort of Sarah Palin brand. And clearly her base is going to buy it. I don't think the American public is going to buy it, although they do seem to really enjoy the spectacle.
Well, you know, it's also it is the train wreck attraction, you know, or the car crash. You can't look away. You got to see
away,
it.
Yeah.
And just from the excerpts that I've read of her book, now I would never go out and spend 5 cents on it, but part of me, as you know, for grins and giggles, would want to read it. I mean, I saw what she wrote about her husband Todd, and when he held the baby Trig shirtless, and it's like, oh my, what is she trying to write,
a Harlequin romance?
Yeah.
I mean, that is what it sort of sounds like there. You know, I think the other thrill for progressives about the book is to watch the kind of Republican Party version of Thunderdome. You know, I mean, she is aiming for Steve Schmidt here, the former McCain campaign strategist. She calls him rotund. She paints the whole campaign as being jaded and defeatist. So there is a war going on inside the Republican Party. This book is clearly intended to advance Sarah Palin's side. And we've heard many McCain staffers come forward and say that she was completely unmanageable. She refused to prep for any of these debates. And that's where the term going rogue comes from, that she really went off script in the last days of the campaign. She's trying to claim rogue, you know, which is a person who is deceitful and untrustworthy,
right,
as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
that's the sort of perverse logic going on here. And I think it's really clear when you read the book and then when you read emails from the McCain campaign, which Huffington Post has up on their website, who's actually telling the truth here, and it's not Sarah Palin.
No, not at all. I can see that. She's trying to rewrite history and put her own spin on it, and I guess that's what you do in a book. But now on the other hand, Richard Kim, we're talking about the new book Going Rouge, which sort of presents the other side of the story. Yep. Orbooks.com is where Going Rouge is available. It's not going to be in stores for another month, right?
It's not available in stores until December 1st, but you could buy it at the website, orbooks.com, and that's the only place it's available until December.
Okay, so December 1st, so that's not too far. Now, you mentioned all the different essays and things in it. One of my favorite parts of it is Palin's top 25 tweets.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, an animal of unto herself, it seems. She doesn't seem to take direction from anybody else. She does things the way she wants to do them. Would anybody have advised her to up and quit the governorship of Alaska if she had serious political aspirations?
When she quit, everyone thought that was really the end of Sarah Palin in politics, that this was the worst thing she could have done. Some people still believe that. I actually think it kind of liberated her in a sense, because she doesn't have to face an election. She doesn't have to face legislature in her home state, or in fact, her sinking popularity up in Alaska, where she has been a disaster mm-hmm. as governor. She could kind of really just say whatever she wants to say, and that's where the Twitter and the Facebook updates all come into this, that she is really rallying her base in the Republican Party, I think, for a 2012 run for president.
You really think she's going to run?
Look, I think one way to consider the book is just as a celebrity spectacle, and that she's sort of aiming for a Fox News talk show. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly a possibility. Mike Huckabee is a talk show host now, and he certainly looks like he's going to run for 2012. Inside the Republican Party, this is really clearly an attempt to neutralize people like Steve Schmidt, Meghan McCain, maybe even Liz Cheney, people who are thinking about the Republican Party winning nationally and have, odious politics, but, don't represent what Sarah Palin represents. And this is, I think, really her attempt to cast herself as really a victim of the McCain campaign staff, and to lay the groundwork for people to sort of forget that or shift the blame onto other people and vote for her for 2012 inside the Republican primary.
Now, I know Rush Limbaugh said he read her book and he thought it was a great political
policy. Yeah.
Now, I know that he was a big fan of hers, a big supporter of hers. But is it just because he can have influence over her? I mean, how can somebody seemingly intelligent, although I've got questions about the way his mind works, how could he come out and say that this is a great policy book?
I don't know what pages he's reading. They're certainly not the pages I'm reading. And, you also have conservatives like David Brooks, who went on TV this weekend and said that she's an utter joke, and, he can't believe anyone's taking her seriously. Steve Schmidt has said that nominating Sarah Palin for president would be a total catastrophic disaster for the Republican Party. So there are clearly people, even inside the Republican coalition, that see her for the kind of train wreck that she is. It's interesting Rush Limbaugh is in her corner, and that magazines like the Weekly Standard are continue to be in her corner. And I think some of that is on actual policy issues. I mean, she does sort of curry favor with the neocon establishment. But in a way, she's also very like Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck. They kind of play on politics in this very cynical way that's about manipulating a minority, really, to say no. I mean, that's what she is the queen of, the party of no. And so she shares a lot of things with Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, and I'm not surprised that they're in her corner. I just don't know if people want to elect someone like Glenn Beck as president, and if Sarah Palin continues to go in this direction, I think people will not want to elect someone like Sarah Palin as president.
No, I hope not. I mean, I think that was the one thing that, although people may have liked her personally, and she's got this charisma about her, you can't deny it. But as president of the United States, I mean, that's some serious stuff there.
Yeah, it would be a disaster, I think. On the whole charisma part, I mean, undeniably she gave a great speech to the Republican National Convention, and it was full of these, one-line zingers. But in some ways, that's also a sort of construct. I mean, she casts herself as this Washington outsider. That's where the whole rogue persona comes in. But even when she was mayor of Wasilla, Sarah Palin hired a Washington-based consulting firm, a lobbying company, to get $27 million of federal earmarks to Wasilla, which has a population of about 6,000 people. This is back in the 90s. So this is not a woman who actually is a Washington outsider. This is not a woman who has any problem playing with the old boys' club of lobbyists and pork barrel spending. She's just trying to depict herself that way. And that's where the whole hockey mom and moose hunter and, just an average hockey mom from Alaska thing comes in. It's as much a fiction now as some of the other lies in Sarah Palin's book.
Sure. Now, as someone who obviously would not support Sarah Palin for president, would you like to see her as the Republican nominee? Do you think that would be sort of a shoo-in for a second term for Barack Obama? Or would it be a real battle?
I have such torn feelings about this, Nicole, because you see in New York's 23rd district here, upstate New York, what the effect of Sarah Palin is. That was a race. It was a special election this year, and Sarah Palin effectively hacked out the Republican moderate candidate, Dede Scozafava, because she was pro-choice and pro-gay marriage, and she backed this conservative party candidate, Doug Hoffman. What happened on election night is that the Democrat, Bill Owens, beat Doug Hoffman, converting a district that had not been had been in Republican hands since the 19th century. So if this is the impact Sarah Palin has on national politics, a part of me is like, go for it. This could only mean supermajorities for Democrats and a second term for Obama. On the other hand, you see the impact she's had on the healthcare debate, where she was just able to hijack the whole discourse and really degrade it for months, really. So she's a very dangerous person in that regard. So I'm really torn between kind of cheering the train wreck on and watching the Republican Party commit suicide, in essence, and then, realizing that they could still do a lot of damage with her at the helm.
Yes, well, I agree all around. Richard Kim, a senior editor of The Nation magazine, a co-editor of Going Rouge, An American Nightmare. I've been reading the book. You sent me a PDF of it. I can't wait to see the full thing because we do need that stuff to counter the nonsense that's being put out by Sarah Palin and all the media coverage of it. I mean, we know what a big supporter of President Obama Oprah Winfrey was, yet there she is spending an hour on her show today, and a lot of people are going to take that as, oh, if Oprah has her on, it must mean that she likes her, that this is a good thing.
It's a great thing, and, Sarah Palin's not just a mom, and that's fascinating, and that's what Oprah's probably going to talk about. She's a politician, and our anthology is about Sarah Palin, the politician, and, the perils that lie there.
Well, Shannon Moore will be joining me in just a little while tonight on the show. And by the time this airs, I will have watched Sarah Palin on Oprah. Like, I don't have better things to do on a Monday afternoon, but we do what we got to do. And I will have some audio clips from that as well. Richard Kim, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much. And I look forward to reading Going Rouge, An American Nightmare, which is available until December 1st exclusively at orbooks.com. That's orbooks.com. And then after December 1st, at a bookstore near you.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having
me
on.
Thank you so much.